Well, good morning and welcome again to Kings Norton Baptist Church. We're so glad you can join with us this morning. We are in our series looking at those that Jesus met, and last week we considered Jesus welcoming children to himself, and the message there is on the website. And this morning we're continuing with what's known as the pastoral letters, which are letters to Timothy. And this morning, it's the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. So please read that. If you haven't, then do so now, and then we will pray. So, Lord God, we thank you for the great privilege of being able to come and seek you as the author of your word, that we might hear you speak as we read your word and consider it for ourselves. And Lord, that we might go away feeling that you have spoken, and that we are more assured of our standing with you, and more determined to love you and to follow you. Amen. Well, as you know, I share a house here with my mother, and in the living room there are a number of pieces that have been collected over many years, even centuries, and they enhance the room. And they do so because they are valuable or genuine. They're authentic and they're not a sham. And so too, people can enhance us or hinder us in our lives as well. And one of you can perhaps think about those who have helped you or left a mark on your life. Well, years ago in Daytona Beach, I shared a flat for a time with another guy. He was a really nice guy, and I took to him as a friend. And being a long way from home, it made all the difference. And I held him in high regard. So it's quite a shock when I discovered that he was regularly drawing money out of my bank account. And to cut a long story short, this nice guy turned out to be a sham. And instead of being authentic, he was a fake. So as I say, we're all influenced by other people. And perhaps you can think of those who have been good or bad for you in your experiences and what a difference they have made. Well, if I can give a very different example, you don't have to read very much of the life of Wellington to soon discover that he was an outstanding general. And the more his troops got to know him and his inspiring leadership, the more they were willing to serve him faithfully, giving their best, whatever the cost. And it was very tough to be a soldier in those days. I mean, it still is. But the troops in the Peninsular Wars, they endured great hardship and they stuck with it because of him. So we too can be influence for good in the same way. Although, of course, as Christians, we're in a very different army. Hudson Taylor spurred many to sacrificial service in China, and he spoke much about the lost heathen millions of that country. However, what caused men and women to forsake all and take on that perilous journey and life, many of whom did not return, was Hudson Taylor himself. Hudson Taylor travelled widely to make the need known. And I quote, "In Sweden, as elsewhere, it was the spirit of the man that added weight to what he said. Seen through the eyes of those with him, this was, if anything, the more eloquent message. Everywhere the people were drawn to Mr. Taylor," recalled a helpful friend of his. "He seemed to be full in love and affection. He talked in such a way to me, my heart was completely taken." So there's some examples of influence. So bear that in mind as we look at our context this morning. Timothy is there and he's having a tough time of it. Church leaders often do. You think your church has problems? Well, here in Ephesus, Timothy is really up against it. And just draw your mind back to look at the previous verses, from 1 to 9, here was a group mentioned who were charlatans and tricksters, and they were trying to undermine everything that was godly in the church. And then there was another group spoken of at the end of chapter 2, 23 to 26. These are carnally minded Christians who are causing all sorts of arguments and upsets in the church. Satan is having a field day. His purpose, as always, to cause as much disruption, division and discouragement as possible. Discouragement is a big deal. When Hezekiah faced Sennacherib, king of Syria's vast army coming against him to oppose him and attack him. And with Jerusalem surrounded, Sennacherib is shouting all sorts of threats and insults, so much so that Hezekiah falls before the Lord in great distress of heart. So too, Timothy is feeling surrounded on all sides by those who oppose him or trying to supplant him. All the opposition he's facing adds up to a tough time at church. And can you imagine him in that distraught and overwhelmed situation? I'm sure he was much on his knees as well. Well, leadership by nature is a lonely place. And one could just imagine him in the valley of despair. What can make all the difference to him? A good, solid friend. Well, I wonder what kind of person you are. I have a slightly melancholic nature. I'm not too prone to deep or lasting lows. However, when I'm a bit down, I'm quickly lifted up by an encouraging word or a sign from a friend, or perhaps even a phone call can do it. And the Lord knows all about this. He knows what you are struggling with and has already put in place means of comfort and help. And for Timothy, that was Paul. Timothy had his weaknesses, as we know. And so Paul says to him, to encourage him in his difficult situation, verse 10, you know all about my life. You, however, know all about my life. Remember, don't you remember? How could you forget? And of course, we realize that Timothy was from Lystra and had come to faith through the preaching of Paul during his first missionary journey there in AD 48. And following his conversion, Timothy joined Paul on his missionary journeys, giving ample time to get to know Paul and to know him well. So how important are those early times in our young faith? Did not the Lord bring to you encouragement in the form of perhaps other mature Christians? That early care and nurture from the Lord provided good role models for you to follow. And as you look around to think who you can emulate, and you say to yourself, you know, in this new faith, how shall I now live? And there they are, those giants of the faith living out their Christian life before you. And there you can see authentic Christianity lived out. Well, it was only a few weeks after my conversion and on my return to England that a godly lady in the church I just joined gave me a job as a maintenance man in a very large hostel in the centre of London. And I was maintenance man in this hostel. So if you have trouble with your sash cords or anything like that, if you can remember what they are, then come and see me. Well, it was a Christian hostel with a Christian staff. And there they had morning devotions. And by the presence and help of others, I learned, you know, to pray in public. I was amazed when I first became a Christian to see other people quoting scripture. I learned the value of it. I observed how they related to each other. I could see humility worked out. I could see how they gave their time to help others. I could see how they were careful with their tongues. And I could see a resistance to the world's ways creeping in. And I thank the Lord for that early time of nurture that he led me through. And then comes the growing up, doesn't it? The hardships don't diminish but increase, and the responsibilities grow. And part of you longs to go back for those simple early days. But God pushes the boat out. He's not left you. Or if I can mix metaphors, you know, he wants you to learn to walk and stand on your feet and grow in grace and pick up the baton for what he has for you in your life with him. When Paul says to Timothy, train yourselves to be godly, it means to stamp into your character like you might stamp a coin out. And so it's a working out in our lives, isn't it, to train ourselves to be godly. So you might ask the question, but in all this, will I have what I need? Yes, you will. And one of those things are the memories. Holding in mind the example of that godly life that so helped you. Keeping in mind those mature Christians who have travelled before you and stand with you in the faith. Your very own cloud of witness. Now, years later, Timothy is in the thick of it in troubled church life. And those early days after conversion must have felt a very long way off. Those long talks with Paul as they journeyed together on foot must have been sweet memories indeed. So now in difficult times, Paul is saying to Timothy, remember my life. In fact, you do. You know all about it. You know all about my life. So recall it. It will help you. It will help you because this is what you need to keep you steady and going on. Well, when I first came to King's Norton in the church was a sisterhood that used to meet on Wednesday afternoons. Of this group of ladies, some were very noticeably godly. And I remember visiting one of them and she said to me, the previous pastor of the church used to come round and visit her. And she sensed that his visits were less for her than for him. And she said she could tell when he was under pressure because he would come and visit her. So Paul is saying to Timothy, who's under pressure, remember or come and visit me in your mind. And he knows that that's what Timothy needs to keep him resolved and steady in the troubles that he faces. And so he says, doesn't he? Verse 10, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. You might be thinking at this point, well, Paul's doing a bit of boasting, isn't he? I couldn't say, look at me in my life. Is Paul puffing himself up as some people do? No, he's not self-centered, but motivated by a love to help another brother. Or you might be thinking, well, it's okay for him. He's an apostle. And indeed, you could put a case to say that there is something that marks out an apostle, that enables an apostle to speak or point to themselves. And yet Peter, in his second letter to the scattered Christians, he writes to them and he says that they have received the faith as precious as ours. So just as it's a level playing field before we come to Christ and are saved alone through him, so afterwards too, it's the same Christ who enables you by his Spirit to live the godly life to which you're called. So Paul does point to his life, for it is a new life in Christ. Timothy, how I am now is all a measure of God's working in me. So, of course, Paul didn't boast about himself. He boasted in the Lord. And after all, when we look around, it's Christ we're observing, isn't it? Living out his life in his people. And that's how it is. And that's why we should be able to say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ, who is, of course, the great example. Well, Paul and Timothy lived and worked together for many months and years. They were close. And when you're close with somebody, you know, you can't hide things, can you? At least not for very long. It will all come out. But Paul could still say, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Yes, well, his teaching and his doctrine was known. He had made it known. Timothy knew it. But he also knew it because he had seen it. His manner of life fitted like a glove with his doctrine. And then he goes on, doesn't he, talking about my purpose and faith. Here comes the list of qualities that you could expect. And what was it that Timothy remembered? That Paul taught them? Well, he certainly did. But he lived them. The lasting impression on Timothy is seeing them lived out in action. He'd witnessed the suffering of Paul. Timothy had shared in the gospel labour for a long time. He'd been selected by Paul as his chosen companion on his journeys. And actually, if you go to the end of Hebrews, you can see that he spent time in prison as well. Well, there's no better place than trouble to display patience. There's no better place than hatred to display love. As Paul said, when we're slandered, we answer kindly. And there's nothing like ongoing wearying opposition or oppression to display endurance to all those around. So is that not one of the reasons why God gives these things to his children, that the world might see Christ in you? Do you run away? Are you in the habit of running away from hardship? Well, if you do, then you'll fail to grow in godliness and you'll fail to present Christ to others. Well, verse 11, it says, goes on, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Timothy, you were there. You know all about it. And you too can expect some of that as well. And it's in the suffering that you will see the authentic Christian life. Well, he's referring back probably to Acts 14, where it says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. And the next day he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. But then they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. There's a message that's worth remembering. Well, here's Timothy's home turf, and Timothy did indeed know all about these things. So I repeat, it's the suffering that shows the authentic nature of our Christian life. So Timothy, he'd seen that in Paul. So too, we will have that as well, because we're told, aren't we, in verse 11, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So Timothy, this is what you can expect. Brothers and sisters, this is what we can expect. And if I can use that horrible phrase, that when we become a Christian, trouble and hardship is the new normal. Well, verse 13, just cover that a little bit in previous look at the passage before that, but it says, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, why is that there? And I think the answer is that actually impostors, they won't suffer, they run and they become worse. So how does Paul show his life is authentic? It's because he heads on through trouble. And in fact, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in 2 Corinthians 6, he gives a testimony, really. He says, rather, servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and so on. So that's a mark of authentic life, is that he's experienced these things as part of his new life in the kingdom. And Timothy, who'd often been with Paul, had seen these qualities every day. So now, to encourage Timothy in difficult times, Paul says, hold it in mind. It'll help you against the unauthentic and the sham lives of those who oppose you. And then he finishes by saying, he could testify to God's ever-present help, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Well, maybe a better translation would be, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So there's the rubber stamp of the Lord's presence and promise that he will do that. Well, my father left a great impression on me. My mother, who resists the things of God, much less so. My father stood by me when I was faithful, when I turned my back on the family as a foolish teenager. And he continued to show love to me when it wasn't reciprocated. And I still have all his letters at home. And I remember his other-centeredness, his thoughtfulness, and his patient love. Well, Timothy could look to Paul as a father like that. And in a sense, he was his father in the faith. Paul addresses his letter, his first letter, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. And then his second letter starts off by saying, to Timothy, my dear son. Well, do you have parents who have modelled that for you? Maybe not. But who has God given you at church? Can you pick out Jesus in your brothers and sisters and say in your mind, I'm going to copy, you know, his reliability, her grace in conversation, his generosity, her humility, her modesty, his steadiness under pressure, and so on. If you do that, it'll give you strength as you overcome the troubles and obstacles and the opposition that you are and will be facing, because you will see a measure of God's dealings and authentic lives in others. When everyone seems against you, remember, not everyone. There is such a thing as an authentic Christian life, and it's worth holding those people in mind. We need to keep them in mind, save us falling away in times of trouble. Do you remember young King Joash? He was kept steady in his life, wasn't he? And how was that? Through the influence of godly priest Jehoiada. But do you remember what happened? When Jehoiada died, Joash's life collapsed. He'd forgotten what he should have remembered. So Paul concludes to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it. So the message is clear. Use the examples that God has given you. Make the most of them. Don't forget them. Keep them as a good deposit and carry on. So Paul, in his aim to help Timothy with his troubles, points to his own authentic Christian life. He also, as we'll look another time perhaps, goes on to talk about the other thing that's a great help, which is the scriptures. And that's coming, that's verse 16 and onwards in the passage, which we won't look at today. The word and the testimony go together. Well, we've been thinking about being in Timothy's shoes and looking to somebody like Paul. But could you be a Paul? Not that you are influenced by others, but that maybe you might be an influence and help others. Well, Vanessa joins me about three times a week for the morning run, which is really nice to do. And when there's a bit of flagging, I adjust my pace so we can jog alongside together. No, she says, it helps me more when you're ahead. So that's what I do. So if you're living an authentic life, you can be ahead and you can be a good spur to others. If not, then you will not be helping and maybe even hindering your brothers and sisters. So we should be a spur on to help others in the task that they face. Well, I'm part of the way through Peter Hopkirk's book on the secret political movements in Central Asia. And it's a monumental work. It's more than 500 pages. And it took a significant chunk out of his life to research and produce it. It has 15 pages of bibliography. Well, why did he write it? What spurred him on? It was the influence of one man. Another book, Fitzroy MacLean's Eastern Approaches, portraying his experiences in that area years before. And then I thought, I have that on my shelf and I can remember what a good influence it was when I read it. So we can be spurred on by people and their lives. And yes, I'm sure with you as well. I've been having a feast in reading books during lockdown. And of course, it's good to read Christian biographies, isn't it? And the last one I've just read was the life of D.L. Moody. And his influence in the US and also in the UK was enormous. What a spur he was to so many. And what a solid legacy and encouragement to me and us more than a century later. So may your life, your book, as it were, be useful for others who are to come. And to encourage Timothy, Paul reminds him of what an authentic Christian life looks like. So the Lord gave Timothy all that he needed to fight his battles. And the Lord will give you too what you need. He'll do that for every Christian. And in fact, it might be your authentic Christian life that he will use to help others. Well, I mentioned Hudson Taylor at the beginning. I'll just finish with a quote from him. In his notebook or his journal was found a well-worn piece of paper that moved on from day to day. And it gives great insight into his inner life. And what does it reveal? Well, this is what he said. He said, and this is his prayer, and maybe it be our prayer as well. Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality, more present to faith, vision keen, than an outward object seen, more dear, more intimately nigh, than in the sweetest earthly tie. So may the Lord help us to be those that encourage and help others as we share together in this walk through this world. Amen.